You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
If you have a Bible, please take it out now to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 6 is where we are continuing today in our series where we have been for this summer. And we have been looking at the wonder-working power of this Jesus, the one who is worthy, the one who there is none like. And so we're going to look at a story today that is unique because it's the only miracle of Jesus recorded in all four gospel accounts. Maybe you're thinking, I think I know which one it is. Maybe if there's Bible trivia, you'd know the answer. Does anyone know? What is this miracle that Jesus does in Mark chapter 6? Feeding 5,000. And that should lead us with the feeding of the 5,000 as we open in Mark chapter 6 to say, why does each gospel writer care to include this in their account? There must be something about this miracle and this story and this Jesus that leads them to say, I need people to know this and not to miss it. And so today in our passage, there's a big idea I want us to think through today. It's that Jesus is the good shepherd that I need. Maybe you're able to say that today. Maybe that's something that you believe personally. Jesus is the good shepherd that I need. I know that. I've experienced him. Maybe you're here today and church is relatively new to you, or Jesus is new to you, or you've never really opened the Bible before, and now there's these people around you. They're opening up all of their Bibles. Today, I want you to consider Jesus is the good shepherd that you need in your life. And we're going to look at some wonder-working power of Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30 through verse 44, I want to read our passage today and what takes place, and then we're going to look at it together. So beginning in verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing. And he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Today, before we get to the why of Jesus as a good shepherd in our lives, I want us to think for a moment and answer the question, how does Jesus get this title? I want us to think maybe biblically, where does this come from? And why does Mark chapter 6 now become that much more significant or important for people to consider what Jesus is about to do before them? And in order to do that, I want to go back to a passage in the book of Ezekiel. You don't have to turn there, but we'll put the passage on the screen in case you want to make notes for later and you want to read it in its entirety. But I want to read now some of the promises that God gives his people. You see, they had never experienced a faithful shepherd, one that would lead them and provide for them and protect them and watch over them and care for them and would know all their needs. They'd never experienced this. And so there came a part in Israel's history where God steps in and says, I am going to do what unfaithful shepherds have not been doing. And he prophesies through Ezekiel, and in Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning verse 11, I'll just read a number of the statements God says through this passage. But he says, I am going to, as a shepherd, seek out the flock, and I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. I will feed them with good pasture. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down. I will seek the lost. I will bring them back. I will bind them up. I will strengthen the weak. I will feed them in justice. I myself will judge between sheep. I will rescue my flock, and I will judge, in verse 23, and I will set over them one shepherd, one like my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. You see, God prophesies to his people and says, I am going to step in and do what these earthly shepherds have not done. Because my people are wandering, and my people need protection and care. My people need a shepherd. The world cannot give you what you need, so I myself will come and give myself for you. Which is why all the more years later in the Gospel of John in chapter 10, I want to put on the screen, this is why there's significance in what Jesus is proving them in that moment. And John records Jesus' words where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so in Mark chapter 6, as we are beginning to be presented with this Jesus, Jesus says, I'm the one you've been waiting for. I'm the one God said would come and would ultimately be a shepherd who would care for you and watch over you and lay down his life for you. So today I have five reasons from Mark chapter 6 why I want you to consider Jesus the good shepherd in your life. I want you to look at this Jesus and say, this is the one whom I will give my life to. Five reasons in our passage. But hear this today. Only Jesus satisfies. Only Jesus will satisfy you like this world cannot offer. If you're a young person here today, I just want you to think about your context. Think about the things that you're involved with, the people that you know, the next seasons of your life. I want you to hear today on this theme, only Jesus will satisfy you. There's no education that will fill that void. There's no person or relationship in your life that will fill that void. There's no amount of money that you could make in your life, no drink, no cigarette, no website satisfies you like Jesus Christ. And if you're an older person here today, I want you to hear in your context of life as well the same thing. Only Jesus satisfies. There's no retirement that will satisfy you. There's no accomplishments in life or accolades. There's no perfect health. There's no perception of what other people think of you in your life. No relationship satisfies. Only Jesus, the good shepherd, in all of our contexts, ever can satisfy. And so reason number one why I plead with you today to consider Jesus the good shepherd is this, because he has compassion. Because he has compassion. He is a God who is compassionate. Let's look at verse 34 in the first half. Jesus and his disciples are trying to get away. And then verse 34 says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. He begins to teach them many things. Why does he do this? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. This is the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34. This is Jesus, the good shepherd, looking on people wandering aimlessly in life with this void needing to be filled. And he sees them and he's moved and he says, what they need right now is me. Now just live in the text for a moment. Imagine you're the disciples. Imagine you've just been sent out by Jesus to minister and you've now returned and you are exhausted and your tank is empty and you're invited by Jesus to get away and to get in the boat and to go sail to a place where you can find some solitude and some rest and you can't wait. You're thinking, this is all that I need right now. I just need to get away for a little while. I need to fill my tank again. I need to be restored. And so you're in the boat and you're sailing. You could maybe in the distance, you could see the dock that you're going to dock and head off into the wilderness. But then you also see at the same time along the shore, maybe the stirring up of dirt, clouds of something, and you see the crowds, and as you get closer, and you're thinking, what I was hoping for is now all lost in that moment. What I wanted was rest, and now everything is changing. Maybe you're thinking in that moment, come on, give me a break. All we needed in this moment was this. This is what I need right now. But it says when they got to shore, Jesus gets out of the boat, and he doesn't say, hold on for a moment, just pause, please. We're going to get away for a little while. We've got an Airbnb that we've booked. We just need some rest. It says Jesus sees the crowds, and he's moved by compassion. Because he sees in that moment what exactly they need. He's not inconvenienced by the people in that moment when he has nothing left to give them. He says, no, actually, what I'm here for is to give myself for them. There's a dad in our church that often reminds me. He gets the morning quiet time all set. It's all planned out. He's striving for it. He gets downstairs. He's got a cup of coffee. He's got this plan that he's reading through in his place, and he's got his pen ready to mark up his Bible. And just in that moment of solitude, who comes down the stairs? The kids. Oh, come on. But Jesus is not like that. Jesus is moved by compassion as a good shepherd. He knows that what his sheep need is him. And so he makes himself available in that moment. Now, this word compassion here, when he's moved by compassion, this is a word in the New Testament only used for Jesus. It's an adjective that describes Jesus, the good shepherd, as he's moved towards sympathy to look at people and say, but they need me. They need access to me. I'm not inconvenienced by them. I'm here for them. Whatever they need, I will give of myself. This summer, we were away for a few weeks as a family, and if there's anything you know about me, you know, one of the things I love is gardening. And so when we were returning back from our vacation, we got word that in our vegetable garden, we had this little surprise. I want to show you on the screen what we found out was in the garden. Yeah, you think they're cute. So I love my vegetable garden, and this is a bit of a threat to the vegetable garden. So two questions came to mind. First question was this: how do I get rid of baby bunnies? But the second question that came to mind is, how do I get rid of baby bunnies that my daughters now love? And so we've been doing a lot of Googling about baby bunnies over the last couple weeks, as they want to know everything they can, like the care that the mom gives, and how long would they be in the nest, and what do they do, and when will their eyes open, all these different questions they have. And one of the things that I found very interesting, in contrast to what we've just been thinking about, is baby bunnies are left alone for about 23 and a half hours a day. And the mom comes quickly at dawn or dusk and feeds them and then gone. 30 minutes max. And so just preparing for this weekend, I'm thinking, baby bunnies need a better caregiver. They need the mom to be more accessible. I mean, how can this be all that they need? And I'm thinking about the context here where Jesus says, actually, I am here all the time, any time for you. Jesus is not inconvenienced by you in your life or in a certain season saying, God, I need you right now. I need to pray to you. I need to pour out my heart to you. I have questions for you. I want to know more of you. God, I'm going through a season or a struggle right now. Can you be here or near for me to comfort me? God never says to you, I don't have time for you. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I'm exhausted. I'm trying to get away for a while. You see, church, Jesus is the good shepherd in our lives. And as we're confronted with this Jesus who's moved with compassion, who sees the crowds, who begins to teach them many things, we're reminded of other parts in Scripture that say that's exactly what God's character is. I want to show you a couple of them on the screen here. Exodus 34, one we love to remind ourselves. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Not just a little bit, but abounding. Psalm 145, 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. You see, Scripture says that's the kind of God and good shepherd you can run to. That's the kind of God who is accessible and loves to be there for his sheep. Not a God who's inconvenienced by you, but a God says, I've come to give myself for you. And so in your life, just think about that for a moment. Think of whatever season you're in right now, the prayers you're praying, the requests you have, maybe the needs that you have. God doesn't say to you, I'm not sure I'm going to have time for that. The Good Shepherd has open arms and says, I want you as my sheep to come to me and know that I am the one you need. Second reason why you need the Good Shepherd in your life is because he instructs. And what a wonderful truth that is. Now in the second part of verse 34. So Jesus has gone ashore. He sees the crowds. He has compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. But look what he does. And he began to teach them many things. You know, part of the job as a shepherd is to teach. It's to instruct, it's to lead, it's to direct and guide and protect. We see that even in the New Testament of the roles of elders and pastors in the local church. But this is the job of a shepherd. And Jesus meets the crowds and it says, and then he begins to teach them many things. See, the reality is dumb sheep need instruction. They need to be taught. They need to know where's danger. They need to know where to feed. They need to know what is safe and who is the shepherd and who can I trust and that you're looking out for me. And so Jesus begins to do this. We see this in the life of Jesus, but church, we also get this in this, the written word of God. Holding a Bible in our hands and opening it, beginning to read it is the way that God feeds us through his word. It's alive and it's active and it instructs us and it teaches us and it informs us in our lives. And so we need to run to the good word in our lives and say, what do we have in this book, the Bible, that would instruct me under the good shepherd in my life? Maybe some of you experience these truths too on the screen, just other ways that God pours into our life as we call out to him. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. A couple Psalms later in 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And one commonly referenced, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is who our God is. God loves to inform and instruct and teach and educate as his sheep come to him. So just think in your own life. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever thought, God, what is the purpose of my life? God, what is the direction or the end goal? God, where is all this leading? Maybe in your own life you've asked those type of questions, or maybe spiritual questions like, God, how do I grow? How do I change? Maybe someone of maturity in your life, you look to them and you've said, God, how do I be more like that godly example in my life? Those are wonderful questions to ask, but here's a follow-up question. Do you have this type of desire? As a sheep under the good shepherd, you have a desire to be in the word and say, God, teach me from your word. Teach me things that I don't know. God, speak into the depths of my heart and show me the ways that I need to change. Or maybe we change the question just a little bit to get a little bit more personal. Is there anything in life that you're longing to learn or grow in or know or recite or regurgitate more than God himself? Stats about sports, where the current stock market is. What's our desire to know the things of God and be instructed in these things compared to the things of this world? Because the shepherd is ready to instruct if the sheep want instruction. So Jesus is a good shepherd because he's compassionate, because he instructs, and now thirdly, because he provides. He's a good shepherd who provides for his sheep. We're going to get to verse 41, but continuing in the story in verse 35, what happens is Jesus has been teaching his disciples, and the day is going on, it's getting late, and his disciples come to Jesus and say, you know, it's getting late. I think what we need to do is send the people away, tell them to go to the villages and surrounding countryside so they can get food for themselves. That's what they need. So Jesus released them, and Jesus says, well, why don't you feed them? And they have this interesting response or I guess question maybe in verse 37. We don't really know what's going on in their minds, but they say, shall we go and buy 200 denarii, maybe two-thirds of an annual salary? Should we spend that much money worth of bread and give it to them to eat? two possible situations here. The disciples are saying, Jesus, we don't have that much money. We are finite in our provision for them, so we can't. Or maybe on the contrary, they're saying, Jesus, even if we had that money, I don't know if we'd want to spend it on everybody like this. And so Jesus responds and says, well, why don't you go and just tally what we do have? And he sends them out and they come back. And you can see here in verse 38, the inventory is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. We'll come back to that in a moment. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. And then verse 41, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing and he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples to set before the people, and he divided the 2 fish among them all. Now, we don't quite know exactly from the gospel writer's perspective how this happened. We don't know whether or not Jesus, as he was breaking bread and maybe breaking fish, that in those moments it just seemed to multiply in his hands. We don't know whether or not every time they reached down to a basket, it was refilling miraculously in some way. We don't know whether or not the wonder-working power was distributed to the disciple as they then began to pass out food. Every time they took some food out or passed out a basket, it was multiplying. But it tells us that Jesus began to break the bread and break the fish and divide it amongst everyone, that everyone ate. Now, this is not unlike provision that God provides in your own life. Sometimes we blur the lines with what do we think we need versus what do we want. But the reality, the truth here is that Jesus, as a good shepherd, always provides for you in life what you need. I mean, this was the heart of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus was teaching the crowds and saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about the things of tomorrow because God cares for creation. He cares for the lilies of the field or the grass. He cares for the sparrows. They all eat. And how much more valuable are you than they, his creation? So don't worry about it. God knows what you need and he will take care of you. But, you know, here's the objection. Maybe some of you have been thinking this. I'm still waiting for God to come and provide. There's something right now in my life I've been praying for, or I've been wondering, why is it taking so long? Or maybe, God, why isn't it turning out the way that I thought? And your objection is, I hear you say God is a good shepherd in life, but I have not experienced that provision. I think maybe all of us in some seasons have said, God, can you hear me? But the truth is that we have to hold on to, the good shepherd always knows what his sheep need. So maybe the question we ask inwardly, is this a want right now? Is the timeline a want, or the expediency a want, or the ease a want, or whatever else it brings? Is it a want or is it a need? Because church, here's the reality. God proved that he would take care of all your needs by taking care of our greatest need at the cross. Jesus looked in your life and said, what you need is a savior. You need someone to come and deal with the sin you were born into. And so I will live the perfect life you never could. I will die on a cross undeservedly because I am perfect. I am God myself. And I will rise from the dead and conquer over that because you never could. And so one of the reasons why we look to the cross, church, and say, there's the proof right there that God took care of what I needed most, that everything else that flows out of that, you look to God and you say, well, that's no big deal for him because he's already done the thing that I needed most. Be reminded of that today. Be encouraged by that, that God took care of, at the cross, your sin and my sin. He's a good shepherd who provides for his sheep. Sometimes his knowledge and his wisdom is far beyond how God provides, but the reality is that he still does provide, just as he does in this story today. Look at a few other places in Scripture. Paul writes in Philippians, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. A few things are significant here. God supplies every need of yours, not every want of yours, but everything you need in his infinite wisdom in your life, he supplies it, and he supplies it to his riches. He's not worried about whether or not I'm going to have enough to provide for you. He supplies that in riches Deuteronomy 2, verse 7, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. Here's the reminder for Israel. He knows you're going through the great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. You know, the reality is that sometimes we look back in our life and we see that season that was hard, and maybe even in our sin, we'd say we challenge God in his provision, but some seasons, then we get to look back and we say, you know what? I can see now that God took care of everything that I needed. And it felt like bare minimum, but it was exactly what I needed in that moment. Because he changed me through it, or he refined me through it, or he's been shaping me through it. And so I still see his provision, because the good shepherd provides for you at all costs. Here's the fourth reason, reason number four. Jesus is the good shepherd that I want you to consider today, because he satisfies. Because Jesus is a good shepherd that satisfies you. That's significant as we come to verse 42, what happens, because everyone's eating this bread and fish, but then Mark writes down in verse 42, and they all ate and were satisfied. Here's what we don't read. They all had a little bit. They all had a snack. They all had an appetizer. It says, and they all ate and were satisfied. Just think about what's going on here. The crowds have tracked down Jesus. The crowds have been listening to Jesus. The crowds are growing hungry in front of Jesus. They experience then in that moment provision from Jesus, but now the crowds eat from Jesus and they have no further wants. They're satisfied. Just on the theme of shepherding for a moment, maybe some of you have already begun to see this in our passage today. I just thought this was so profound this week. The people gather near water by Jesus, and they get out as he gets out of the boat. The people are confronted by someone who's caring for them like a shepherd for his sheep. The people are being provided for as they sit down now in green grass, or maybe we'd say green pastures, and the people no longer have wants. Does that remind you of any psalms? I want to put it on the screen for you, Psalm 23, the first few verses. This is David writing, the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I wonder if anyone there that day was thinking of this psalm and thought, there's something significant happening right now in the grass, being provided for, being satisfied, the wonder-working power displayed like we've never seen before. And yet as we come through this passage in Mark chapter 6, as we're thinking about maybe Jesus is the good shepherd that we have been longing for or we've been wanting in our lives, the question that we have to ask at this moment in all-satisfying good shepherd Jesus is this Jesus enough for me? Ask that question in your life today. Is Jesus enough for you? Or maybe perhaps to ask the question a different way, is there anything in life that we might say satisfies us more or maybe equally than Jesus? Just think about different aspects of our life. Just let's get under the layers. Let's get really deep right now. Maybe it's your home where you're like, I don't know, it's Jesus, but I love my home a lot. Parents, let's get to the kids. Maybe it's my family a lot. Maybe it's this hobby that I have. Maybe it's my addiction to my social media. Maybe it's a glass of wine. Maybe this vacation that I'm longing for. Maybe it's my investments. Maybe it's how do I look every time I leave the home or I put myself online. Maybe it's what do people think of me? Maybe it's this current relationship that I could not imagine going through life without. Whatever it is, do you claim that it is more satisfying than Jesus? Whatever that might be, it's a mirage in the desert. Or maybe more bluntly, it's an idol. And we must see that that idol has replaced the rightful worship of the good shepherd in our lives. It's something that we've put up on a pedestal and we say, this thing I think is going to satisfy me. And Jesus' point to the people that day is, it's not going to satisfy you. It's going to leave you longing and wanting, and you might not see it now, but you're going to hit rock bottom eventually because that thing is going to fail you, or that person's going to fail you. But I will not. You know, one of the things I love about John's gospel is when he recounts this miracle, he transitions into a teaching about how Jesus says that he's the bread of life. Now, why it's so significant is the people have just been fed. It's the next day now. They're back after Jesus, and they want him to do another miracle. Why? Because they are longing for the things of this world, and they're hungry again. And so they want Jesus to provide for him. And then Jesus teaches them and says, I'm the bread of life. I need you to be satisfied in me and not the things of this world. You trust in the things of this world and you're longing for them and that's what you're going after. You will time and time again be hungry and longing for what's next. What's next? The next hit, the next person, the next thing. Be satisfied in me, the good shepherd. And so Jesus provides for them in verse 42, and we realize when you are provided by the good shepherd, you eat or you experience and you are satisfied. Because you look to the world and you say, nothing can compare or match my Jesus. Here's the fifth reason you need Jesus as the good shepherd, because he knows no limits. Last two verses of our passage today are significant. Jesus knows no limits. And I want you to see how Mark ends this parable, the story here, this miracle. It's somewhat strange compared to how he normally tells stories. But verse 43 says, after they eat and were satisfied, they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And verse 44 says, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Many commentators note this here when the gospel writers are saying it was 5,000 men present. There's also women present. There's children present. So it says 5,000 men, but really the crowd was much larger. Could have been upwards of 10, 15, 20,000 people that God has provided for. Think about a stadium of people sitting before and hearing and being taught by Jesus. And the disciples have this issue and Jesus says, no problem, I can provide for them. And you won't have to ask questions and wonder, will it be enough, or do we have to share, or do we have to just take a little bit? But it says that there is a surplus from God's provision. There's extra from what they have left over for lunch tomorrow. And so when we look to the Good Shepherd, we recognize, church, that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is too great for him. He's a God of impossibilities. He's a God who's able. And so the situation or the person or the season that you're in, you go to the Good Shepherd because God says, I am a God without limits. I mean, just think about that reality today, that the Good Shepherd is a God of the entire universe who upholds the universe by the word of his power. And he says, come to me and I will take care of you and I will provide for you. And I know exactly what you need and you will be satisfied in me. Just the reality that our God has no limits should humble us in moments of need. And yet many of you here today, you've experienced that Good Shepherd. You're able to say, I remember the day or I experienced Jesus in such a way of surrender where I said, God, why am I living for myself? In all that you offer, in all that you are, God, be the Good Shepherd that I need. I am a sheep wandering without a shepherd. And if you're here today and you've never really seen Jesus in that way, then this is your invitation in this wonder-working power miracle to say, who is like this Jesus? I've been wandering and running and striving and the stomach keeps getting hungry for the things of this world, but here's finally the answer to be satisfied in someone that will satisfy me like the world cannot. And your invitation today is to let him into your life and to let Jesus show you his wonder-working power. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you provided salvation. We thank you for your word that reminds us that there is salvation in no other name under heaven by which we might be saved. And so we thank you for the goodness in the name of Jesus and our lives that we can experience. Thank you, God, that you are a good shepherd. Thank you that you are compassionate. Thank you that you instruct. Thank you that you provide. Thank you that you satisfy. Thank you that you know no limits. God, maybe there's someone here today and you're saying, but I'm too far gone. I've been through too much. I feel too dirty as a sheep. How could the good shepherd want me? God, would you just minister to them today just to see the reality that no one is too far gone? No life is unable to be saved. And Jesus, as a good shepherd, you have open arms and you are saying, just come to me, all you who are weak, who have been carrying the burden. Come to me. Come to me, and I will show you my goodness. So, Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the reality that the gospel is founded on the good news of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Thank you for what that means for us in our lives. Would the response that we now sing be a testimony that you alone are all satisfying? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.